Go past the poetical books, and Isaiah is the first major prophet there, following the book of Song of Solomon. Isaiah 54. Well, before we get into the message, I do want to give you an update on the faith promise. We, again, have been praying, asking the Lord to increase our faith, to give us grace, to give according to His will. And so what we had our conference with Brother Bud Stedman. He did a phenomenal job, and I just want to say this. For those that were not able to make it, if you missed a service or two or however that may be, please go and listen to those messages. Would you say amen right there, church? They were helpful, they were inspiring, and they were just Spirit-filled, and the Lord used them. And I'm thankful for Brother Stedman. I'm already looking forward to him coming back again soon, Lord willing. But he preached to us about standing in awe of God's provisions and of God's greatness and His glory and His plan for the local church. And you folks have taken this charge seriously. And I am overwhelmed by what God is doing. And I want to report tonight of where we are as of October 17th, as of what came in this morning. To God be the glory, church, where we are for the coming year of supporting missionaries. Let's show that number, 134,156. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. It's thrilling. It really is. It's encouraging. And it just makes you want to just shout. Amen? It makes you want to just get up and do some spiritual jumping jacks. Amen? If those exist. I'm not sure if they do. But anyway, we are grateful. And by the way, if somebody wants to do that, that'll be all right. All right? Right, Brother Andrew? That wouldn't be fine. Arthur's pointing at Lauren down here. Hey, amen. Amen. No, when I say that, a little bit kidding, but also very seriously, that folks, we do stand in awe of God enabling us and empowering us and giving us the vision that He has for the world. And I don't believe God's done yet. I believe we'll see some other cards come in the next week or so, and we will get that total, and we are going to see God do some amazing, miraculous things this coming year. For the gospel's sake. And so keep praying, and may the Lord's will be done in that very thing, that God would give us insight, that He would bring the missionaries. You know, one of the messages that stood out to me, all of them spoke to me, but one of the messages of the conference is the one he preached on the responsibility of the local church and being discerning when it comes to the missionaries. I've known that, but the charge this time that the Spirit of God gave me, and I believe is giving our church, is that we need to put more effort in praying that God would send us the right missionary families, and that they would be of Him, they would be of His choosing. And all of the missionaries we love and appreciate, and we want to support and encourage any way we can. That's my philosophy. But at the same time, God has families that He wants us to partner together with, and we need to be tender to His leading in that. Well, if you're there in your Bibles there, Isaiah 54, I'm going to just read a few verses here to start us off. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. We'll be looking at some others. And I want you to know that this message is really a follow-up message from last week. We preached out of 2 Corinthians 10 about enlarging our influence. Paul instructed the church of Corinth to be that way. And I would like to look to an Old Testament passage that teaches us this same truth. And I'll explain a little bit more about that. But even in light of what the church has promised to give by faith before the Lord in the coming year, based upon what has been promised, I just want to have a follow-up message upon that. Because God is going to use this church. Notice with me Isaiah 54. It says in verse 1, "Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, that thou didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Tonight I want to concentrate on this thought, church. Enlarging the place of our tent. Enlarging the place of our tent. Would you pray with me? Lord, I'm grateful for the Word of God tonight, and I just pray that You would teach us from Your Word. Spirit of God, illumine our hearts and our minds. Lord, we are thankful tonight. Lord, as we have seen this commitment from all of us going forward, You have increased our faith. You've given us grace. And God, we want to give You all the credit. For we know that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So we give special focus and attention to that. And tonight I pray that, Lord, You would show us from this passage how we can be encouraged and be motivated to continue going for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In this chapter, Isaiah speaks of the coming restoration that God will give to the nation of Israel at the second coming of Jesus Christ and the millennial reign that will take place under His reign. You see, that is the interpretation. That is how we understand the context, the context of this passage is speaking of. And I don't want to confuse anybody here this morning, because that is what we need to realize first. There is coming a day that this will literally be fulfilled as Christ rules the nations from Jerusalem. That will be His place. That will be the center attention of the world. But I do want to also draw some clear applications that is for the New Testament church. And we're going to look at a few of those together tonight. Well, one of the things I want to mention, as I said before, the first and primary interpretation of this passage is the fact that even though God has turned His face from the nation of Israel and has given His attention to the Gentiles, as we are the church, are going forth, that is actually made up of Jews and Gentiles, we understand that, but we're going forth with a message, the message of the gospel. We're going to every creature. We're going to every nation. And we're making a difference by the grace of God. But here we are understanding that though, as we're going to see in a couple of these verses, notice verse 7. He even makes mention here, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." Notice in verse 8. He said, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment." Now, underline that in your Bible. Because God is speaking here of His everlasting covenant. I believe He's speaking here of the Davidic covenant. And I do believe there is application to the new covenant as well. But the fact of the matter is, God will not forget Israel. Israel will be totally restored. They will have their land. In fact, as this context teaches us, that land will be expanded beyond the borders of Israel. It will be all over this globe. There will be so many Jews that come to Christ, and so many of us that will come back with Christ, His bride, the church, when He comes back after the tribulation time, we will take place on this earth, and we will be all over it, ruling and reigning for the glory of our great King, Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that, amen? I told the church this morning, I was preaching on that subject of standing in awe of the Lord, our theme for this year. And I was talking about some beautiful places in the world. And I mentioned the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, and so many other beautiful places that many of us have been to and visited. That just really give us just a mind and a spirit of awe of who God is and how He has created this universe. Talked about the galaxies and whatnot. But we're talking about some of the places that I look to visit. And the Grand Canyon is one of those, by the way. I do want to go. But I said, you know, one of the things I'm encouraged about, though, is that some of these places that are on my bucket list, you know what? If I don't get to them, just maybe the Lord will let me visit them in the millennial reign. I can't prove that. But hey, you just never can tell, amen? And you know what? And I don't mean to say this irreverently, but you know what? If it is possible for me to visit some of the certain places I've never been to in the millennial reign, I won't have to pay a dime. Is that true? Amen, it's true. The Lord will reign from Jerusalem. And His people will go out as governors all over this world. And we will know that He will be fully in charge. He will have that authority. But the truth is here, I don't want us to lose the main context, but I do believe there is very clear application for the New Testament church here. In fact, this was William Carey's life verse. This was the verse that truly gripped his heart with the need to reach the nations. In fact, that one verse that I would say probably inspired him above all others, this passage in general did, but was going to be, I'll show you here in just a minute, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But what are some applications here that we find to the New Testament church that Isaiah is talking about the nation of Israel? Number one, I will say this. God's church is moving forward to all nations. If you don't believe that, just take your head straight up and look to the left and look to the right. Amen? That's proof right here in our very sanctuary, these beautiful flags that represent the nations around the world. God's church is going forth. Souls are being reached. Eternal souls are being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They will all be joined together in one chorus one day, as we find in the book of Revelation, and will say, "Worthy is the Lamb." Oh yes, my friends, that is coming. Not only do we see God's church is moving forward, we see proof of it, but we also see the promise of it. You remember, Jesus said it, didn't He? What did He say? He said, "My church shall what? My church shall prevail." He said, "The church, I will build my church." And He said, "The gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it." In other words, the church is going forward. The church is on the offense. Let's not forget that. Amen? Sometimes the church is wanting to play all-time defense. But the church is to be on the offense. And I hope that our hearts will be stirred with that very truth every day of our Christian lives, that we're not on defense. Praise God, we're on offense. We're moving forward. The Lord has promised it. We see proof of it. But number two, as we see here, for the nation of Israel, the church is expanding. At this time, when Jesus comes back, that verse 2 says, listen, verse 1, He talks about, you've been barren, all right? He gives the analogy here of a woman who is not able to have children. And in Old Testament days, that was considered a curse. And we know that from the from several verses, but we see it come in full display with Hannah's testimony. She was just absolutely broken over the fact that she could not have children. And she prayed and prayed and sought God, and the Lord blessed her with Samuel. But we see there that it was considered a curse in the Old Testament, and the analogy here is the fact that Israel, yes, there is a time right now where they're not producing any fruit. They are barren right now. The church made up of Jews and Gentiles, but the nation itself is barren. But God is saying there is a promise right here that one day my children, my chosen people, that will not be the testimony. You will be fruitful. You will produce fruit for my glory as you will go forth into the nations and people will believe upon my name. But I think about the church right now. I think about the church, churches being planted. You see, you know, not all ministries are church planting ministries. I understand that. The majority of the missionaries we support, that is their main focus. But I will say this, any other organization, you could call it parachurch organization, there's different names, and I'm not opposed to them, and we support some, and we'll support some more, by the way. But our main focus has been church planting, and will continue to be church planting. But what I think about this is these parachurch organizations, a lot of them, their mission, and if we're going to support them, their main mission is going to be for the purpose of seeing people plant churches. It's going to be assisting church planters. Kind of like Brother Stedman said about Baptist World Mission. They are assisting the churches, and they do a great job of that, and so do other boards. But it is encouragement to me tonight that churches are being planted all over this world. You know, I'm not sure if you've been following the Rischel family very much, but it is so encouraging what God is doing in Bobo and the church that is being planted there, and how lives are being changed. Muslims are coming to Christ. Wow. Amen. That's right, brother. As our brother Michael Garamy preaches in Farsi, and he's reaching Iranians, people that are in many ways locked in to their country and do not have the religious liberty to go to a local church but can tune into the internet and hear the gospel. And churches are being started even through his influence. I'm thankful for that. I see another application here that one day the church will return with Christ and the kingdom will expand to every nation. Now get this, with no, praise God, restrictions. Because you see, one of the things that God is, through the prophet Isaiah, is telling the nation of Israel right now, is like, when I come back and establish my reign, there will be no restricted countries. Amen. 1040 window is a term we use right now for that covers the center point of our globe and shows forth many of those nations that are just locked in because of their religions and they don't want Christianity at all. Well, can I tell you that when Jesus comes, the borders will be lifted. The tents will be enlarged. The stakes will be made stronger. The cords will be made longer. But my friends, we do not have to wait to the millennial reign for that to happen. Because as the song said, marching on to Zion, and as we sang about praise Him, our great King, I'm telling you, everything we're doing right now is in preparation for that millennial reign. Everything we do right now is preparing for the coming of our God. And we can't lose that vision. No restrictions. You won't have to have a passport. You won't have to have a visa. Oh no, my friends. You will be deputized by the King of Kings Himself. He will send us in various parts. It's going to be wonderful. Would you say amen right there? I'm looking forward to it, Brother Andrew. I'm really looking forward to it. D.C.'s not going to have the last laugh. God is. And it's going to be wonderful, church. I hope you're encouraged about that tonight. It could be a lot sooner than we think. If Jesus were to come right now, it'll just be in approximately 7 years that He will come. That's an awesome thought. But not only do we see the similarity here, but then He goes on to say in this verse, He talks about, notice with me in verse 5. He says, "For thy Maker is thine husband." And He's given in the analogy here of God as being the husband and Israel being the wife. He says, "The Lord of hosts is His name." And He says, "And thy Redeemer," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel. Now notice this next phrase. This is the one that captured the heart of William Carey, a great man of God, who translated the Word of God and did great works for God. Notice what it says. "The God of the whole earth shall be called." You ought to underline that in your Bible. Notice it again. "The God of the whole earth shall be called." In other words, everybody on this globe will recognize the God of the Bible as being the true and holy wise God. No man will argue against that. No man will have room for that. And we see that the very fact, as we go forth as the Lord, we understand one day all will call. But let us not forget, and I don't want to lose my trail here. We can't forget, right now as the church, there are people who are calling on the Lord. Yes, there are people rejecting. That's true. And sometimes that can be discouraging. But God has got a people everywhere who I believe who are going to respond to His call. That our God is preparing. I don't care what country it is. I don't care how dark it is. But if the gospel will get there, if the Word of God will get there, people will believe. And that encourages me as I think about our church committing $135,000 and maybe even more for the coming year. That will include more church planters. That will include more gospel proclaimers. And that will include more nationals getting saved and doing the work themselves. And multiplying, preparing for the coming of our Lord. But notice with me also that people will find complete peace. If you go over there later on in the chapter, He talks about the things that will be taking place in that millennial reign. And we find that in verses 11 and 12. And notice even 13. I wanted to draw some attention to that. It says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." You see, there will be great peace that will be taught and will be received. And I can say with all my heart and with all authority that church, as we go forward and preach the gospel, when people believe, they will find peace. There are people all over this world searching for true peace. But where are they going to find it? They're going to find it by people like you and me who have a vision and a burden and a desire to obey the Great Commission. That's where it's going to happen. But notice with me also, number 5 here, if you're taking notes, we're going to notice a parallel here. Notice in at the end of chapter 54, verse 16, He says, "Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, And I have created the waster to destroy. What's he talking about there? Well, through the ages, God has raised up nations to purge other nations. Nations against nations. He's even raised, of course, he raised up nations to bring judgment upon even the nation of Israel. And listen, let's not think for a moment that America is excluded from that. Sometimes I think Americans think we're invincible. We're untouchable. Nobody can mess with us. Listen, that's the last thought that needs to be on our mind. Because God can quickly raise up a nation against us to overtake us. History does not lie. The Word of God does not lie. And so we need to be sobered by that. But the very fact that we see here, he goes on to verse 17 to clarify this verse. He says, no weapon that is formed against thee, talking to the nation of Israel, shall prosper. In every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Can I say right here that Satan, though he bombards us, church, he bombards the mission of the local New Testament local church. Yes, he hinders the work of God. But I'm telling you, as we can make application to this, the truth applies to us too today. Satan will not stop the mission of God. No weapons can be formed against the church of the living God. Yes, Satan will throw darts at us. He will hinder the church. Yes, there are churches dying. Yes, there are some churches that are closing. But at the same time, we must not forget that there are churches being raised up. There are churches getting on fire for God like Crooked Creek Baptist that are allowing God to stir us and to motivate us and to move us forward for what God desires to do. He can hurt and hinder and harm, but my friends, he will not stop what God is desiring to do. I believe we carry that mentality. If someone falls, hey, next man up. Move forward. Take ownership, church. We must. At this time, there won't even be any battles. For the nation of Israel, there will be nobody that will be able to destroy them. There will be nobody be able to curse them and to restrict them with their words and with their government. And that's the truth of that verse. But for us as a New Testament church, we do know that we have the authority of Christ when He said, all power and all authority is given unto me. And therefore, go ye into all the world. That's coming from the captain. He has the authority, doesn't he? That's the way we responded when the captain or the officer said something. And that means when I salute, that means I'm in full agreement. I respect you and I am on to the task. And I pray in my heart that this church and every New Testament local church will salute the glorious captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, with our hearts and say, God Almighty, we're going to go! We're going to reach them! Souls perishing! Oh God, by Your grace. That's what we're going to do. Notice with me also that Satan will not stop the mission of the church, but can I just move to chapter 55 here? By the way, if you just want to note this for later, chapter 53 and chapter 54 and 55 are just really unique to me in the sense of how much parallel and application there is to the local church. 53 is when Jesus Christ the Savior came the first time. He came to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect, holy life, died on a cruel cross for our sins, rose again the third day, and He ascended 40 days later. Thank God for that. That's the first coming in 53. 54 speaks of His second coming. His second coming. will not be to humble himself. It will be to declare himself as king, and he will rule. And then we notice 55 is a declaration that we find in both contexts of his first coming and his second coming. And it's this, church, and this just thrills my soul. Get this. The invitation still stands. Any man will come, let him come and believe upon me. And that is what we see here. Notice in chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that is a message of the New Testament church as well? And that's what we're declaring. There is forgiveness. There is redemption. There is full pardon from the Creator God. And He is offering it to every single human being. And by the way, for anybody that may think along the lines of a hyper-Calvinist, let me tell you something very clearly. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. He died for every human being. There is no exceptions. And it's His will for all of them to receive that. Although tragically we understand because of man's self-centeredness and sin and rebellion against His Creator, many will reject. But God wants them to be saved. And He's calling them. But He's calling them to seek Him. He's calling them to forsake their old way. That's that doctrine of repentance that you don't hear preached anymore. It's that easy believism that's coming out. That's just, let's all just make it super comfortable for everybody. Instead of saying, no, my friend, God says we got to turn from our wicked ways, from our own way of salvation, our own way of gaining God's merit, our own way of finding peace, and turn to His way of finding peace. You see, salvation is for every human being. That's the message. But then notice with me this truth that He gave to the Israelites in this passage. Notice with me, number 7, God's Word declared is never a waste. Notice in your Bibles there, as He offers that invitation, notice with me in verse number 10. You're familiar with these verses. I know you are. But let's read them. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bread, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And He says, for ye shall go out with joy. Let me ask you a question, church. Do you think that verse can be applied to the New Testament church? A couple of men's. Absolutely. It's the Word of God that we have been given to distribute, to proclaim, to declare, to utter, to spread, to preach, to cry out with as a voice in the wilderness, as John the Baptist would do, saying, make you a way for the Lord. I'm telling you, that is a promise to the nation of Israel. That is a time that they will be turned back to the Lord. But I'm telling you right now, it is a promise, I believe, for us today. And we got to take it seriously. Do we really believe that the Word of God that we are supporting going out to these places is really going to prosper? It is. No doubts. Do we really believe the Word of God that we give forth right here in our own community? Do we believe it will go forth and prosper? Do we believe it will be absolutely no waste? Every good news club, every Sunday morning service, every Sunday school, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, every gospel track, every VBS, every single time I share the Word of God, He's going to use it in a mighty way. Every time. No exceptions. No exceptions. He will bless His Word. We can get excited about that, church. That's nothing to frown about unless you're not doing it. Then it's something to be sad about. But if we will take that for what it says and let it change our lives and work through us, I'm telling you, we will be joyful for what God is doing. In fact, that leads me to my next point and final point. Some of you will be thankful. Notice with me in verse 12. He says, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." You get the picture there? Oh yes, in the little rain, all will turn to God. Oh, there will be great multitudes, even during the tribulation time, that will turn to God Almighty. And I believe that there's application for us today. There is joy of people turning to Christ. Would you go with me just for a moment to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I am just excited about this message tonight. It stirred my heart. I want to obey it, church, and pray that I will. And let's pray that we all will. But notice with me in Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to encourage you to underline this in your Bible and even do a study on it and make a note on it. But we have to understand, as we are going forth with God's work, there will be great joy then when Christ returns and restores Israel, and many nations will turn to God. All nations will turn to God. There will be great joy. There will be great clapping. There will be great celebrating. But praise God, by the authority of the Word of God, the church can have that today. The people that do turn. The people that do believe. You know what Paul said about those that he led to Christ in Philippi? Brother Dan, you know what he said about that Philippian jailer? You don't want to know what he said about the Lydia, Brother Ben, the seller of purple, who God opened her heart? Do you want to know about that whole family of the jailer that got saved? Do you want to know about all those people in Philippi that got born again because a missionary went forth and preached the gospel? Do you know what he called them, church? Do you know what they were to him? Notice verse 1. It says, "Therefore, my brethren," those are the people that he have led to Christ, "dearly beloved and longed for," underline this, "my joy and crown." The people that he had led to the Lord, they were his joy. They were his crown. You ever heard of somebody mention the soul winner's crown? At the judgment seat of Christ, crowns that we will receive for personally impacting people with the gospel, not necessarily that you led directly to Christ, but that you influenced and impacted, that trusted Christ. It's going to be a crown for you. It's been a crown for me. We'll be able to cast at the feet of Jesus Christ because we won somebody to the Lord. There's going to be great joy in that time. But I'm telling you, there can be great joy right now. There is joy in heaven, the Word of God says, over one sinner that repents every time somebody trusts Christ. I don't know about you, friends, but God is calling this church to enlarge our tents. He's calling us to lengthen the cords. He's calling us to make the stakes even stronger. And it shows through your faith and your obedience. And I'm telling you, it's just not in our giving, but in the coming days, we're going to get back out on the streets. We're going to start knocking on doors. We're going to start giving out door hangers again. We're going to start up the coffee cup ministry because we believe that God is seeking to enlarge our influence for the gospel. And it's time to get at it, church. It's time to go out by faith, because there's going to be joy in a time. Is there going to be tribulation? Is there going to be trials? Is Satan going to try to hurt us and hinder us? Absolutely. We're expecting that. But he won't stop God. God, if Satan takes me out, God will raise up another. The Lord is going to get the glory. People's lives are going to be changed. He said, "You are my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Tonight, as we think about the Lord enlarging the place of our tent, may we be inspired by men in the past and even men and women of today that are taking these truths and allowing it to transform their lives, their local churches. As William Carey declared to a group of preachers about this size, perhaps, on May 31st, 1792, his opening sermon was on this passage. "The woe and misery of an anguished world were surging through the channels of William Carey's mind." He turned the searchlight upon two mighty truths of Scripture that we have even seen in Isaiah 54. And the first one was that the Redeemer's saving concern is as wide as humanity. And that verse that I shared, "Thy Redeemer," that's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. Hallelujah. "He is the God of the whole earth. He shall be called." And so right now, brethren, as a local church on October 17th, 2021, as we have been through a wonderful missions conference and as we have given our faith promise cards, may we understand the truths of this verse and let it take it to heart and let it encourage us. I hope we will be motivated. I hope we'll be strengthened. Let's obey the Lord. Would you stand with me, please?